Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, May 29th, 2016. The Reverend Ron McHattie is preaching. The sermon today is Encounters with the Resurrected Christ. The New Testament reading is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6.
So one of the interims I've done over the years, I've been there about 3 months, and one of their elders came up to me after one of the services and said, "You know, I've been noticing something that's kind of consistent with you, and it's a new experience for us here, and that is that you usually speak to the text that you read on Sunday mornings. We're usually just hear the text, and then who knows what's going to follow during the message." So I think I'm going to commit that error for the very first time right now. But as I bring this series of messages to a close, I was trying to think of a passage of Scripture that we may not be as well familiar with that would just kind of briefly summarize a lot of the thoughts and a lot of the things I've been trying to share as we've been going along, especially as we've been talking more and more about this whole idea of what does it mean for us to be witnesses, which we'll wrap it up on that topic this morning. And I decided that a text I just wanted to put there with you, before you, comes out of Colossians 4, beginning in verse 2, and just listen to these words. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too." And remember, Paul's writing this, he's in jail right now. "That God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." So even in the context of imprisonment, Paul is asking the Lord for an opportunity to begin to build relationships with those that are now in his immediate circle of influence. How am I going to go about doing that? And asking his friends in Colossae to be in prayer for him in that regard. "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So let's jump into our text for this morning, or into the topic before us this morning as we bring it to closure, and let's do so with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that is ours to gather in this place. And Lord, we ask that you will continue to be with us as we discuss, bring to closure, but we never really bring to closure this topic of what does it mean for us to be your witnesses. Bless us this morning, Lord, we pray in your Son's name. Amen. So, as I shared the last couple of weeks, almost nothing is new. We've touched on this at some point while I've been here in one way or another, most of these very directly. I'm going to use one illustration this morning that's significantly different. Have not done this. But I just want to bring this as a way of reminder back to you as we continue the discussion of becoming Christ's witnesses, because the bottom line is we are all his witnesses. We are either intentional witnesses or we're unintentional witnesses. We're either positive witnesses or we're negative witnesses. You know, that's the reason why I chose that passage by Paul. You know, take advantage of all opportunities. Really be thoughtful and in consideration of how we're interacting with one another, the opportunities that may be ours, when is the appropriate opportunity. Most of us live very isolated lives, much more isolated lives, especially when it comes to our faith, than we're cognitive of, and we've really permitted the world in which we live to isolate us. We can hear people talk just about almost anything and everything except faith, unless we're in a faith context. many years ago. It's closed now, but Jim and I had a favorite restaurant in San Francisco. It's called MacArthur Park. It was down real close to where the Victoria Station used to be down, if any of you went in there when they still had Victoria Stations down in San Francisco. And we were there for our anniversary, as I remember, and we were just having a wonderful dinner together on a day that was just gorgeous in San Francisco. And we were kind of on a little platform and down here so that, you know, you could observe and sort of participate as a non-participant in everything that was going on right here at this table. There was this party of about 12 women that was going full force, and they were just having a great time, and they were celebrating and giving toasts and opening up gifts. And about 40 minutes into it, we finally were able to put all the pieces together. They were celebrating one of the people's divorce. and this person's new life. And so all the gifts were in relationship to what it was going to mean for her to be able to enjoy being single again and getting out on the scene and not be tied down to this husband. And so, you know, gosh, you know, if you can celebrate divorce publicly, I'm not trying to make that a taboo, but I'm just going, gosh, how much, there's so many greater things to celebrate or converse about. And our faith is one of them. If we just are sensitive to the possible connections that God will provide for us in being able to make that happen. So, you know, my desire is just to put these little seeds in there and maybe little irritants so that you'll just begin engaging more, because I really sincerely believe, I'm not trying to harp, but I really believe that much of the future of CPC depends upon each and every individual here really coming to terms with what does it mean for me to become a witness in this community for the future, and how that will over time have a phenomenal impact on CPC, possibly a greater impact than any program that anyone can devise. So that's, you know, that's the reason why I keep drumming this. Two passages we've gone over before, Luke 24, Acts 1, both emphasizing, you know, by Christ that we are his witnesses, both in the context that God's going to empower us through his Holy Spirit for this. Passage I didn't put down, but we looked at last week, was Luke 11, 9 through 13, in which Jesus says, how much more does God desire to instill within you the gift of his Spirit? So, you know, it's there, and we talked about starting each day by just asking God to be present with us and for his Spirit to empower us, make us sensitive to the different leadings in the course of our days. And that doesn't mean that every day, all day long, you're on point, you know, and you can't ever enjoy a moment. It just means that in the enjoyment of the life that's yours or living through the task of your life, you're sensitive to God's leading, who is consistently being brought into your life, and you never know the different encounters that God may bring your way. And so, but we have these natural circles of influence, and that's how I work with that passage out of Acts 1:8. What is your Jerusalem? What is your Judea? What is your Samaria? What is your ends of the world? For you to just begin thinking about that, I put down some suggestions. And then on one of the messages along the way, I've talked about divine interruptions. Always be open and receptive to the divine interruptions that God might be bringing about in your life. One that comes to my mind... or two that come to my mind involve Jema. And yes, Jema and I've talked, and this is nothing that's negative in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, you don't have to be worried about that. But when Jema and I had moved to Pasadena to start grad school, seminary, in 1968, thank you. You know, we were in the process of you know, the the brick and board apartment. Some of you have gone through that. You know, there was, so, you know, we would make the trip to the local lumber yard and get the blocks, the cinder blocks, bring them back. And, you know, this is where our bookshelf is going to be and all the rest of that kind of stuff. Whatever funky little thing we can do to make this into home. And some of you remember, if you've been through that stage, that little house was really important and significant. It had real meaning. Our first apartment, it was so uneven that when Jima made Jello, it came out like this. and she, anytime she made a cake, we're not big cake eaters, but whenever she would make a cake, it was always layered so she could put it together and then it would look, you know. So, you know, we lived in earthquake country, who cares, you know. But on one of our runs to this lumber yard, and it was still a lumber yard, not a Home Depot or whatever we're starting to get more and more accustomed to today. We came up with our stuff, and it was all in the cart, and this big dude, just really, really gruff-looking guy, he just all of a sudden, out of the blue, barks at Jima and points at her, and she was wearing her cross. And he said, "Why are you wearing that?" And, you know, and we just kind of stood back, and we were both kind of stuttering, and, you know, I'm such a hero-oriented dude, you know. He wasn't talking to me, so, you know, I could just step back out of the picture. This is between, I have a cross too, but it's always hidden underneath my shirt, you know. But anyway, Jima, bless her heart, she says, "Well, you know, this cross is representative of my faith." And then he goes, "Well, tell me about your faith." You know, and I'm going, "I just want to pay for the lumber and the cinder blocks and get out of here. This is getting really gnarly, you know, and what's going on here?" And Jima, in just some very brief words, just shared, you know, "Well, this is representative of my relationship to Jesus Christ and my faith in Jesus Christ." And he looked at her and he said, "Well, good for you. I really detest anyone who wears those things for jewelry. You know, this is about a statement of faith." So we met a believer, you know, but he, you know, and, you know, you never know. He may have really shared the message in some way, shape, or form with some people. He definitely knew how to get people's attention, you know. It's not the way I would do it. It would be so outside of my personality, but it all fit that lumberyard. It all fit who he was. Then just about 2 months ago, Jima's at Save Mart down at the bottom of the hill from our home, and she's going through the checkout line, and an older gentleman with his granddaughter notices Jima's cross again and just says, "Wow, you must be a Christian." And they picked up that conversation. Now, it wasn't a long conversation, again, but, you know, who's the third person involved in it? People in line. They weren't taking up a lot of time. The teller. I mean, you never know what seeds are being sown in that moment. And Paul goes into that emphasis, you know, that each of us has different roles. And when we're witnessing, we need to be mindful of that. One of us may be preparing the ground. Another one may be planting the seeds. Another one may be watering the plant. Who knows who's going to be the one who's going to harvest the crop? But are we each, with the skills and the opportunities God's given us, are we each sowing our own seeds? Are we each willing to be the witness in the moment? And that's what I'm trying to encourage you on, because we don't see the big picture. We just, you know, but God can be at work in numerous ways. The person who knows, someday is reflecting on it and said, "You know, over the years, this is what I've noticed that's been consistent with people that I've met and have meant a great deal to me who have all been Christians." And you never know. You know, it may take 20 years for them to put all the pieces together, but it comes together on their behalf. So I just wanted to remind you again, it's not new stuff. We've done it before. I gave to you these three eyes of being intentional. In other words, don't do this accidentally. Really begin considering how you're investing your life. You know, being a witness means that, you know, we're not talking about being a hit-and-run Christian. We're talking about people who take a sincere interest in people, will take a moment to converse with someone. But as time goes on, if a relationship begins to develop, you begin investing your life in that person. And sometimes very meaningful friendships come out of that. Second part of that is inviting. You know, actually inviting someone. Inviting doesn't mean inviting someone somewhere. It really means taking someone. You know, being a part of it. And inviting them to be a part of. And if you remember when I shared about this initially, that third one, including, one of the things I observe oftentimes in the context of Christians on their home turf, in their home park, you can invite someone and you may even bring them with you, or you may actually have a meeting time and you meet them and you go into church together rather than inviting them and they're here all by themselves and they have no idea what's going on. But then most churches have some kind of a fellowship hour afterwards. I'm always amazed at how many times people desert the person they invited afterwards to reconnect with all their friends. And it turns out to be a miserable experience for their guests. They didn't take advantage of the opportunity to introduce them to friends. It might have been even better that morning to have taken them out to lunch afterwards, you know, instead of throwing the whole ball of wax. But oftentimes we just dump someone. You know, it's like when I was in Richmond, this may be a terrible illustration. If it is, tell me afterwards. But yeah, well, no, then you'll disrupt me. But I had to learn that when someone came into the church and was seeking assistance and help, and the story seemed legit, that I could not give them money to go down and catch the bus. And Richmond was at that time anyway, a place where people caught buses to go to, you know, head towards Sacramento or to go north or to south. That bus station was really full. And, you know, the bottom, I learned that I had to go down with them and buy the bus ticket, you know, to make sure that that was that. And that was tough for me because the Richmond bus station was not a real desirable place to be. And I just didn't like being there, but I needed to be present. But then I learned next that I not only needed to buy the ticket, I needed to sit and wait with them until the bus came, because they would turn the ticket back in as soon as I left, get the cash, and take off. So what did it mean for me to try to follow through on this? And I would always debate, you know, am I just tossing money away? Is this really legitimate or whatever? You know, you never know. And I think one of the greatest blessings I ever had in ministry was about 5 years after the incident, I got a letter in the mail from someone we had helped who was trying to make it to Long Beach. And we got them to Long Beach, and we got back this great little note. Don't know if you remember me, but I didn't have any means at all. You guys came alongside of me. You got me to Long Beach. I was able to get there for the job interview. I was able to get the job. I've been able to get my life back together again. You guys were part of making it happen. And I went, wow, that's worth every time I've had a doubt of whether or not, you know, this was worth anything or was actually being used. You know, just being there for that person. I put down some suggestions for points of entry and possible passages just to kind of reinforce that a little bit. You know, I really believe on taking an interest in someone. I try to do that a lot when I'm getting a cup of coffee or something, or waitresses or waiters, just, you know, I want them to have a positive experience waiting on me and let them know that I have a genuine concern for them. and just kind of interacting and going back and forth. Maybe closing that at the end, just, you know, just not trying to do it in a way that it looks like a throwaway, but really sincerely wishing them a positive day the rest of the day. I mean, people get so much bad news, and people, especially in those kind of positions, get taken advantage of so often. And then just the bullet prayers. I mean, as I've shared with you, I am not a great prayer warrior. I don't do well with the list and just praying through the list. I mean, intercessory prayer and having the gift of intercessory prayer, that is an amazing gift. For me, you know, if I were to set aside 45 minutes every day to be in prayer and pray through the concerns and things I know for people, I would be asleep in 20 minutes. I mean, that's just, I don't know why, that's how I'm wired, but if I try to take an extended time of prayer, I usually end up having a long conversation with God, apologizing with him on what a creep I am. I mean, I know that if I had been at the garden in Gethsemane, I would have been one of the ones that had fallen asleep waiting for Jesus to come back. I mean, but on the spot, just praying for something. And so far, I haven't had anyone to say to me, if I say, you know, can I pray for you for that? I haven't had anyone. And sometimes a person will stand back a little bit and they'll go, I'll go, it's not going to be long, it's not going to be loud. The Lord bless you, the Lord meet, and I'll name the need, amen. And they'll go, that's it? I'll go, yeah, that's it. Well, your bill is $21.75. Okay, that's fine, let's go. But you know, trying to get that engagement going. I shared with you along the way, you know, Paul E. Little's little comment about being in prayer for someone with Christ before you're sharing Christ with the person. And before you're inviting, I mean, constantly be lifting that person up in prayer. My dad prayed for his dad for 32 solid years, that he would have a softening of his heart and be willing to acknowledge who Christ was. And he did the final year that he lived. You know, that gave me a whole different... I had no awareness of it, but my mom shared with me. At my grandfather's memorial service, I couldn't figure out why my dad was as emotional as he was, and because my grandfather was kind of a rough guy, and I just didn't enjoy being around him at all, and then I got this whole different perspective of all the years my dad had been praying, that light would finally begin breaking the hardness of his dad's heart and just bring him to a point of faith in Christ. So this little practice that I picked up from someone along the way, one person for 1 minute at 1 o'clock. And like when I shared that with you at that time, I said that I've had people come up to me, well, can I do three people at 3 o'clock, you know, for 3 minutes, you know, or whatever. And I go, you know, Just the thought of committing someone in prayer to the Lord, God doesn't care. I mean, it could be one person at 3 o'clock if it works better at that way, but whatever. At times, I've even, if someone was really on my heart, I've even set my alarm so that it would go off. And it's been interesting conversations I've had with someone saying, was that your alarm that just went off? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, you know, especially if we're out at a meal, is our time up? You know, we haven't finished yet. And I said, no. Well, what did it go off for? And I share it with them. And again, positive responses from people. Oh, I never ever thought about that and whatever. So, you know, the bottom line is becoming incarnational, getting into that person's world in the same way that God came into our world. And I shared with you on that text from John 1:14 that Jesus becoming flesh and making his dwelling among us. The literal translation of that is God set his tent up in our midst. So, you know, where are you pitching your tent? Are you getting in the midst of all of this? On the back of your sermon notes, I came across this a number of years ago. I've never really drawn people's attention to it. But this bridge in Honduras, In 1998, some of you may remember it, Honduras was just beat to a pulp by a hurricane. It's taken them forever to rebuild. The hurricane was so powerful, it rerouted the channel of one of the major rivers in the country. This bridge withstood the hurricane. The Japanese firm that designed it even put it on their logo because it had withstood the hurricane. The problem with it is it doesn't connect to anything anymore because the river, as you look at the picture, got moved. It doesn't cross the river anymore. So you have this phenomenal bridge just as a monument out there doing nothing. So, you know, I think as you guys go forward and as we each live out our lives, another way of looking at being a witness is how are we building bridges? And is the bridge appropriate? Okay? Is the bridge appropriate for where we are? You're going to be thinking through that, I hope, in your own individual lives, but also corporately together with Wendy. What are the bridges for us to be building? I'm going to be going into a new bridge building time in my life. Yesterday, I said yes to becoming the interim for Walnut Grove Community Presbyterian Church up on the Delta. And I'm beginning to learn about the Delta. I mean, this is a little community of 1,400 people. The church has been there forever. There's a Roman Catholic church, there's a Buddhist temple, and there's the Protestant church. That's it. And they service everybody from Rio Vista to Freeport. So this is a whole new world for me. I mean, I learned about plum trees and prune trees, they aren't the same thing, and walnut trees and almond trees and rice up in Yuba City. Now I'm going to learn about pears, cherries, and wine. It'll be the first Presbyterian church I've ever served in which one of their major fundraisers every year is a wine tasting weekend. So I'll let you guys know. Come up and party with us. The sanctuary isn't really a sanctuary. I would call it a chapel. But this is going to be a whole new clientele for me to learn how to connect with them. It's a whole different lifestyle. I mean, much different kind of farming community than Yuba City. Yuba City is 80,000 people when you combine it with Marysville. That is not Walnut Grove. I mean, it's this little niche just there with generations. And I've already learned one really important lesson. And Jim and I for years have loved driving 160 along the river. I don't know if you drive that. But if you drive 160, you notice that there's two roads that go down the delta, go on the dikes, but 160 goes this way, and it goes across the river, and it goes up, and it goes across the river again. And so during my interview with them, I said, okay, so help me start to understand this. Why isn't 160 just straight? Why does it do all this zigzagging across the river? Reason? Wherever 160 is, there's a major state politician that lives on that section of road. You know where there's a lot of politicians who live along Sacramento River, and they want to make sure that the road in front of their home has no potholes. So 160 is a state road, not a county road. So 160 goes by their house and then crosses over to the next one's house, goes up past their house, crosses over, goes up to the next one's house. But, you know, it's important to the culture. And they all started laughing. So, you know, I'm going to, in the same way that you're going to be looking at how do we build bridges, some of you have built bridges in this community, but they're no longer appropriate. You know, it's like a bridge not crossing the river anymore. What are the new bridges you need to be considering? I've got bridges I have to consider as well now, you know, in my life. So that's what it's all about. I hope that giving you some inspiration and thoughts about what does it mean for you to be a witness, what is it going to be for you to be corporate witnesses as Wendy gets here? And if we can really get hold of this, then God is really able to work in and through us with his agenda, not our agenda. So this is the last Sunday.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.